Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Coming to you from Classic City,
the capital of the Bulldog Nation.
It's time for another edition of the podcast designed for the most diehard Georgia fans in the country.
Here are your hosts,
Tyler and Charlie.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Glory UGA podcast. I'm your host, Tyler, and in a surprising turn of events, gracing us with her presence once again for, believe it or not, the second week in a row after about, 2 months off, living her best summer life, is my coach, Charlie. Having vacation withdrawals yet, Charlie?
No, but I am going on a few more trips.
Are you really?
Yeah.
No.
What? I mean,
no,
sure.
Whoa. I've got this schedule laid out like the rest of the summer. Where are you going? When are you leaving?
I'll be back.
Are you going to actually give me the info?
Yeah.
Of...
There is this
because I have no idea this was happening. I thought you were done.
There is this thing called Zoom, which I've suggested, but...
Okay, all right, yes. I know that we could do this through Zoom. The problem is I haven't mastered how to do it through... I use Zoom on a daily basis professionally, but to use it and then download it as an MP3 and upload it to our recording equipment, all that's like our program, I could... figure it out probably, but it would take some time for me to figure it out, and I just don't know if I want to invest that time to figure it out, because what we've got working now, it works well too.
I wouldn't even want to Google to find out how to do any of that.
I mean, it took me a good while to teach myself how to podcast.
I didn't know MP3 was still a thing.
Well, that's the file that I have to, what we do here with our recording program, I have to convert it to MP3 file and then upload it to Overtime.
Too many words.
There's a lot of steps.
Stop.
Yeah, and I've had to teach myself all of this years ago, I guess, 5-6 years ago now. I'm pretty good at it now for the most part, but learning new things takes a while. I'm not an expert at it. I can do enough to record the podcast, post the podcast, edit it if I need to.
You're also getting older.
What does that have to do with anything?
Your memory.
No, I'm not that old. Come on. That's like 20 years away before my mind starts going, right? At least?
Mid-30s?
Mid-30s.
Some might say already.
No. Who's saying?
I mean.
Who is some? Name them.
Your wife?
No, don't. She doesn't count.
She doesn't count?
Probably don't. Let's see. I can edit that out, right? I can go back. I know how to do that. I can edit that out. All right. Well, at some point, let me know when you're actually leaving so I can figure out what I'm going to be doing.
I'm leaving tomorrow.
No, I'm actually leaving tomorrow. I'm the one. I've been holding down the fort for a couple of months now. I'm taking a vacation.
Yeah, but I'll be back before the next show.
All right. Are you leaving too this weekend?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, you're being serious?
Yeah.
Oh. Where are you going?
Lake.
Oh, fun. So fun.
Listeners.
So fun.
He is not a water person.
It's not the water.
Especially if it's not the pool.
Well, I'm not a water person. It's not super... Like, when I was a kid, sure. It's not... Like, the idea of a lake and tubing and jet skiing was a kid, that's exciting. But, I mean, as a 30-year-old man, 30-ish-year-old man...
No,
I'm not... Okay, 30-ish.
You're closer to 40 than 30.
Whoa, no. No. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm like...
No.
I guess technically 35 and a half-ish. More than 35 and a half.
Yeah, you're bad at math.
Yeah. October 30th be rolling around. Yeah, I guess I will be in the downside to 40.
Less than,
oh, no, we're not going there.
What is it, July? So,
yeah,
less
July
than 4 months.
Yeah, fun times. But no, I'm not a lake guy. But I hope you have a lot of fun. It's not my thing.
I will.
I hope you enjoy it. I get eaten alive, the bugs. It doesn't do much for
there's
me.
This,
wherever I go to the lake, I don't know. I'm sure there's lakes where they have good Wi-Fi signals out there. I got nothing.
Oh my gosh.
Whenever I go to anyone's lake house or I go to any lake anywhere, there's just like, you're in the, I mean, and I don't want to say boondocks, because I grew up like in Georgia. I'm not a country, but you can call me a country boy, would you?
No.
I grew up in the suburbs, so I can't really be a country boy, but Georgia, like the
a
South.
A country boy,
okay?
Would be someone who my, like, goes my, hunting.
My
and
family
fishing.
Is from the
last...
country. My family is from the country.
Right, but you...
So I spent like my summers on like farms in the country as a kid. I didn't live on it as a rule.
But
I
don't
spent
know
time
that
on
you're
things.
Part of your family, because you're like the black
well, I
sheep
mean,
of your family.
I gotta
family.
Be part. I'm not. That doesn't even make sense. How are you not part of your family?
Well, I mean, but you're the black sheep of your family.
I mean, that's probably true.
When's the last, a country boy would probably be able to, I don't know, tell the last time they went hunting or fishing.
I get
or,
no enjoyment. Well, no, okay, fix, hunting. Here's fix your, I actually don't mind hunting. I don't mind hunting. The thing that I don't like about hunting is that hunting season during football season. I'm not going hunting during football season. Are you kidding me? That's not how, there's
well,
no
okay,
way here. You're getting me in a deer stand while a Georgia game's going on or any other game's going on.
But a
not happening.
Country boy could probably also name the last time they fixed something.
Oh, I fixed the blinds the other day. Outside.
He's beaming with pride all about right. Fixing blinds.
You know what? It took a minute. It was tough. Took some old-fashioned ingenuity.
Did you have to YouTube it?
I actually did not. I'm just a genius.
Oh, okay.
Naturally. Fix something outside. What do you fix outside? You cut grass and plant flowers outside. You don't fix things.
But you don't even cut the grass.
Well, that's because my wife's a control freak and like loves being outside and loves her yard. I'm just
well,
I would screw it up.
Well, it always looks nice.
If I got to do it more, it's like anything. More practice, you get better at it. I'm just not like the first. Like as soon as we got married, the first time I cut the grass, she was like, "What did you do to the yard?" And yes, I scalped it. I didn't really exactly know what was going on. I just screwed. We had a riding lawnmower, and I never used a riding lawnmower, and I killed. Yeah, it sucked. But yeah, I haven't been allowed to.
Well. There
grass.
Must be a reason.
I'm okay with that.
It always looks
honest.
Nice.
To be honest. I don't even know what we're talking about here. We got to get to football. We got a lot of stuff going on today. So do you mind if we can get to football? Is that okay with
yes.
you? All right. Today on the show, we are diving back into the listener mailbag to answer all of your pressing Georgia athletics and Georgia adjacent questions. We actually had a few scheme-related questions that were sent in at the last second before our final scheme theme episode of the summer. That we just missed. I just missed them. It's my fault. We want to get those on the show today. We want to make sure we get to everyone's questions. But we also have quite a few other topics to discuss as well. So, Charlie, where are we kicking things off today? Where are we starting?
All right. Well, I know you like to start with big picture questions that lead you on rants. Well, not rants. Well, you're talking to yourself, really, for
It's nice to have a good lead-in. It's nice to have a good lead-in.
So, I have a good question for you to start with. You're welcome.
Thank you.
This question comes from Barrett. He says he was listening to Andy Staples, who made the case for Georgia as the best coaching job in all of college football. So he wants to believe this is true, but he's not so sure. So what's your take on that opinion?
Best college football coaching job in America. I actually heard Andy Staples say this.
Who went to Florida, right?
Yeah, he's a Florida guy. He's a Florida guy. He's actually like, it sucks because I think he's like, I don't have a ton of respect for most national media or most national college football media pundits out there, but I think Andy Staples does a really good job, and I hate that I think that he does a really good job because he is a Florida guy. So, yeah, I kind of hate myself for that, but I think he does a really good job. I do remember him talking about that, and I guess this is a popular offseason topic. Actually, I appreciate the question, Barrett. Barrett sent this question, I think, around the time that Andy Staples brought this. I think it was back in March or April. And I was just holding it because when I see questions that I think can be like a really good big picture question to open a show with, we make a separate list of those and we kind of just use those each one each week and just kind of go down the list like that. So it's been a couple months. And I apologize for the delay in getting this question, Barry, but it was such a great question that we wanted to hold it and kind of focus on it a little bit more. But it's a really good question. And this is a popular off-season topic. People talk about this when there's not much actual football going on. But I don't think we've ever had a chance to really address it on this show. Georgia as potentially the best college football coaching job in the country. Like, Charlie, just like when you think that, like when you hear best coaching job in the country, like what schools come to mind first for you?
For best jobs in the country?
Best jobs in the country. If you're a head coach, if Charlie is getting into the head coaching business and you're thinking, okay, everyone loves me, everyone wants me, I can have any job in the country that I want. where are you going? What are your top few schools?
I mean, if it was actually me, I would not want that much responsibility.
But professionally speaking.
Thinking professionally.
You want to reach the pinnacle. What schools can you go to reach the pinnacle?
Well, the top schools that are always in the playoffs. Alabama. Clemson.
Oh, Clemson. I don't know if I'd put Clemson up there.
Well, I mean, I'm saying...
It's an interesting
from
one. Definitely Alabama.
The success
That makes sense. That makes sense.
I think a lot of people would think...
They are a new blood, as I'm going to steal that from Tate Frazier, who does college basketball podcast. It's an awesome college basketball podcast. But
I mean, I do think Georgia is high up there. I think a lot of people would say Clemson, Ohio State.
Ohio State would definitely be up there.
Notre Dame...
Oh, no way, Notre Dame. Oklahoma State?
Oklahoma, yeah. Sorry.
See, I would disagree on Oklahoma. I disagree on Notre Dame. Traditionally, they win a lot, but those are harder jobs to win at because of recruiting. I don't say restrictions, but limitations.
There?
Exactly. That's a part of recruiting. I mean, it's hard to recruit people to the Northeast days.
Well, I know. I'm just saying these are big programs that have been successful
recent
past.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Texas?
Would they ever be back? No.
Really?
Well, it's in Austin. Take that back, right?
Yeah, Austin's a great...
I mean
it's changed a lot over the years.
I wouldn't want to live there. I don't think
why?
It's like... I don't know. It seems like it'd be really hot.
I mean, it gets hot. It gets hot anywhere in the South.
I don't know. Texas is just
It's a different level of heat, sure.
And it's just...
But you don't... Who cares if it's massive? You're not going to live all over the state.
You're not near any other teams. Like... Who they play,
Well, I mean, there's three other teams in your state that are in your conference.
Right, but it's
also
like...
you're talking about West Virginia. You're going
to
go to West Virginia.
Exactly.
Iowa, sure. Iowa State, yeah. Got it. All right, fair enough. All right, I'm just curious. Let me get your take on that. I like that. All right. So I think in answering this question for me, I think you have to determine what makes a coaching job a quote-unquote good job. I'm sure I'm missing something here, but when I think about what makes a job a good job, there's really like three factors I'm looking at here. Number one, I put this at the top of my list. I've told you guys plenty of times, winning at a high level in college football, I think comes down to a couple things. Talent procurement, you got to be able to go out and get the talent. Talent development, you got to then develop that talent once you get it on your roster and get it on campus. And then talent deployment, you have to go scheme it up and deploy those players in the best way possible to maximize their skill sets, right? I think it's those three things. But of those three things, I think talent procurement, all right, getting access to the players, that is the most important. Because none of the other stuff matters if you don't have players that are good enough. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good you are developing talent, developing players. If you're starting from a lower level, you're just not consistently going to win at a high level. You got to have the talent, right? So I think access to players, and to kind of go along with that, I think in-state competition has to factor into access to players. Because like if you're in, like you mentioned Texas, Charlie, so I don't know if I would put Texas up there. A lot of people would put Texas up there, but I think there's four other Power Five schools in the state of Texas that you. And I know it's a big state, like 30 million people, but there's four other Power Five schools in your state you got to deal with, plus Oklahoma, and everyone wants to come into Texas in that area. Arkansas wants to dip into Texas, Louisiana wants to dip into Texas, Bama goes into Texas, we go into Texas. All these schools want to go into Texas, so it's tougher there. But I think in-state competition, access to players, that's number one for me. Then I would just kind of classify this as, it's what I call, are you a big-time program? And what goes into big-time program? Conference affiliation, financial resources of your athletic department, the facilities that you have to work with, institutional commitment. How committed is your program institutionally to actually giving you what you need to consistently win at a high level? Fan base is going to factor in here. Absolutely. In a lot of different ways, your fan base factors. First off, is your fan base rabid enough? Second off, is your fan base patient enough? Are they going to demand that you win like in 2 years? And if not, you're gone? Are you going to be like Auburn, where Gus Malzahn? Actually, I'm going to go back to Gene Chizik. Gene Chizik wins you a national championship, and then a couple years later, 2 years later, has a losing season. He's gone. He's out the door. Poof, gone, out. I mean, I think you got to think about those things as well. And then, of course, tradition, like just going back, is your program tradition rich, all that kind of thing. And then the third thing for me would be the school in the town, like the value of the degree, perception of your university as a whole, and like the surrounding town, right? So those are the three things to me. So let's look at Georgia when it comes to these three categories that I've kind of laid out here. Access to players, I think we are as well positioned, if not better positioned, than pretty much any other program out there in America. And let me explain that. As demographics have changed, so has college football. Why has the SEC been able to dominate for so many years? Well, a big part of that, yes, I will admit, is fans just care more. It's a way of life down here. The fans are just far more into it. They're more invested, and they spend more of their money, which means those programs have more money, and they also are more demanding. If a coach isn't winning, if things aren't going well, they demand things to change. And so I think that's a huge part of it, absolutely. But also a big part of why the SEC is dominated is because of the population growth in the Southeast. There are simply more players here now than there have been back in like the 1950s or so. And again, it's also kind of just a way of life down here. And listen to this. I know you guys probably realize that Georgia is one of the top talent producing states from a football standpoint anywhere in America. Forever the perception was it was California, Texas, and Florida. Those are the big three, and then that was it. And everyone was like kind of a distant fourth, fifth, sixth, or whatever. But Georgia has risen up, guys, and we are not just like on the periphery of those programs, of those states that produce the most talent. We are right there with them. Outside of Texas, which has three times as many people as Georgia, our state, the great state of Georgia, has produced more top 100 recruits from 2017 to 2021 than any other state in America. Only Texas, who has three times as many people as our state, has produced more top 100 recruits over the last four seasons. So Texas has come in with 72 top 100 players over that span of time from 2017 to 2021. We were actually tied with Florida, who has two times as many people as we do, at 63 top 100 players. California at 61. We've surpassed California now, guys. Over the last 4 years, we have surpassed California as a football-producing state. Alabama, Louisiana, Maryland come in next, tied at 20. So it's a massive drop-off from the top four. You have from Texas with 72, Georgia, Florida, 63, Cali, 61, top 100 players. Then Bama, Louisiana, Maryland up next with only 20. You go North Carolina, 14, Pennsylvania, 13, Ohio, and Virginia tied at 12. Literally, no other state has per capita more access to as many high-quality players as we do here at the University of Georgia. And here's the other part, as I mentioned earlier. We have essentially no viable in-state competition for those players by virtue of the fact that Georgia Tech is such a beautifully disastrous joke of a program that no one takes seriously. Like, not even their own fans take that program seriously. So we kind of like, we're sitting in this recruiting hotbed with all this talent, and we've got no in-state competition that can really compete with us. Yeah, I mean, Tech basically takes the guys that we don't even really talk to. That's essentially what happens. And sure, Alabama wants to come into Georgia. Everyone wants to come into Georgia and Southeast, of course. But we are still the home state school. We have that draw. And that's something that they can never sell. So, I mean, you're talking about access to players. Look at what I just laid out there. Honestly, I think you can make the argument that Georgia is better positioned to get the top players in the country than any other program in America. So, check mark there. Next up, so a big-time program. All right, we're in the SEC. Best program, best conference in the country. Clearly, right? We are in as good a shape as anyone financially. Top five revenue-producing athletic department in the country, which will actually go through the roof if we ever win a national championship, which better happen sometime soon. I don't know if I can handle it, man. But it's absolutely going to go through the roof if we ever win a natty. And then for football, I'll say for football, because Charlie, I know I'm about to talk about facilities, and you're going to really get angry here. I'm sure you're going to bring up tennis and indoor facilities, which I hear is coming, actually, by the way. But we're talking about football facilities, okay? Football facilities. So as far as football facilities go, we are at or near the top of the country with a clear commitment. What are you doing over here?
Sorry, I
don't even know if you guys can pick that up. Are you like scrolling through Twitter?
I was looking at something for NIL.
Oh, you're looking at NIL.
And I accidentally
clicked
on a video that I didn't mean to. I have no idea what it is.
Yeah. You are looking at NIL stuff. Okay. All right. I thought you were just over here like scrolling through social media.
Yeah, I do that sometimes.
I mean, yeah. Okay.
We're still on the first question.
We are starting with this question because this is a big picture question. You said yourself, big picture question.
I know, but it's also been like 10 minutes.
Oh, my God. All right. You know what? Let me do my thing.
Keep going about your facilities.
All right. I am talking about facilities here. Talking about facilities. All right. So we're at the top of the country, or very near the top of the country. I mean, a lot of these top programs have very similar type facilities, but we have a clear commitment athletically to spending whatever the head coach wants. And then on top of that, the donors will happily pony up for that indoor practice facility that took so long to build. Yeah, university basically paid nothing for that. It was fully funded by donors. I mean, come on, guys. We have those financial resources. We also have a rabid fan base that is also, I think at the same time, Ravage, yes, but generally more patient and less cutthroat than some others. And maybe that's been to our detriment at times. Maybe we've been a little too patient with previous head coaches and athletic directors and regimes and, you know, all that. I think you make that argument, but our fan base is right up there, in my opinion. We have a long storied football tradition. I wish we had more national titles. Of course, we all do. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a strong football tradition in a state and in a region where college football is the undisputed king. So I give us another check mark there. I'm not going to say we're the biggest time program in the country, but we're right up there. And then school in town is the third factor. Our school has rapidly moved up the public school rankings. I mean, don't look now, guys. We're top 15 nationally when it comes to public school rankings as universities. We've been named a public Ivy League school. And in terms of college town, I mean, Charlie's hands down a no-brainer, right? Is Athens the best college town? I mean, I know we live here, so we're biased. But let's just try to be objective here for a second. Is it the best college town that you've ever been to? Is there anywhere you've been that surpassed Athens?
No.
I mean, what's come close? I really like Columbia, Missouri, but it's not Athens. No way. People would say Nashville, but Nashville is not a true college town. That's just no.
Too big for me. I don't really like
Tuscaloosa. No way. Baton Rouge. No way. Knoxville. Are you kidding me? Columbia, South Carolina isn't as bad as people make it out to be, but nope, not close. Let me think where else. Oxford. Oh, your favorite. Oxford, Mississippi. Everyone loves Oxford. I know that's clearly near and dear to your heart.
No.
Why? You are very anti-Oxford, Mississippi.
It takes a long time to get there.
And there's literally nothing on the way. Like, yeah. Trying to stop for gas, like, okay, we got 50 more miles.
The speed limit
is like 80. Yeah, it's crazy. It's a town square.
It's a square block.
It's Mayberry.
It's a square block.
It's a square. That's literally all it is. There's like very little hotel accommodation. It's just, yeah, it's tough, but it's a fun place. But no, Oxford, as much pub as it gets, it's not even the same stratosphere as Athens. Starkville, no. I mean, Auburn. Good God, no. Clemson, not even close. I mean, Clemson, Jesus Christ. I don't know how anyone could possibly go to school there. It's just, there's nothing there. So, I mean, Athens is, and I haven't been to every college town in America. There's some that I'd love to go to. I'd love to go to Madison, Wisconsin, places like that I haven't had a chance to go to. But as far as what I've seen, at least in the Southeast, I've seen a lot of them in the Southeast, I think it's the best true college town in America. Obviously, I love it so much that I live here. And it also really caters to the college student community. And if you're a college student, like if you're JT Daniels, I mean, you see all these pictures of JT Daniels. Have you seen these on social media, Charlie?
Who wears a turtleneck in the summer? It is hot.
It wasn't just it was a turtleneck and a jacket with jeans and like boots. And it's like, dude, it's like 85, 90 degrees. But it's the swag. Like if you're trying to, because well, you know, he's trying to get ladies, obviously, right? He's trying to go out there and get the girls. And I guess that's what does it. I couldn't even begin to pull that off, though. Like, even if I could get over the heat, like,
can you imagine
me just, like, walking out the door? What's up, guys? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no.
Like, everyone would start, like, rolling on the floor laughing at me.
Yes.
Everyone.
Yes.
It's the lack of hair, right?
No, it's the idea of a turtleneck.
But how can a guy like JT pull it off? Because he's young and...
I mean, I don't
got the
think...
swag.
I don't really, like...
Is it the mustache thing?
No, thank you. No, thank you.
But for a guy like JT Daniels, you're gonna do well for yourself here in Athens. It's the best town in the country, best college town in the country. Look, I'm gonna agree with Andy Staples here. All right, and I know Georgia podcasts, people want to call me a homer. That's fine. And if you want to make an argument for other programs, Alabama, sure. It's hard to argue against Alabama because they have been so successful. They have such incredible tradition. It's really hard to argue against them. But I think there are important areas that a coach would look at when trying to decide what job does he want, that we are superior to Alabama. I mean, look at Alabama. So we have edge. I think we have the edge in access to players. Alabama doesn't produce anywhere. Like, in-state, they don't produce anywhere close to the level of player that we produce here in the state of Georgia. And sure, under Saban, they're a national program. They go out and recruit whatever state they want and get players from all over the country. They go out to California. They go out to Hawaii and get players. Yeah, we know that's true. But is that a Bama thing or is that a Saban thing? I think it's more of a Saban thing. And maybe that'll carry over after Saban's gone. But what to see who follows him up there. I mean, Bama's always been able to recruit well because they do have that tradition. They have the fan base. They have all that. They have all the national titles. We know that. But in terms of access to players, I think we've got that. Plus, you know, Auburn is more legit competition for players than Tech is. You got the in-state competition there. I think I would, I mean, you have to give them the edge in terms of being a big-time program and all the factors we laid out. I mean, we have the clear edge in school. Like, their school, you were, like, you mentioned this the other, well, month. I was going to say the other day. It wasn't the other day. I think it was when we played Alabama back in October. It just came to my mind here. Because I always assumed that Alabama as the state school was ranked higher as a university than Auburn was. But you told me
Auburn's the better ranked.
It's
higher ranked.
Higher ranked. Like, whatever those rankings actually mean, but it's actually ranked higher than University of Alabama. I had no idea that was the case. So if Auburn is ranked ahead of you as a public school, you're just not even close to Georgia. It's just not even close. And, I mean, Tuscaloosa's fine. It's not a terrible college town, but it's just not Athens. So and that matters, guys, because you got to sell that to recruits. It's good to have access to players, but you have to have something to sell them. And Athens is a major selling point. Why do you think we do such a great job once we get these players on campus? Well, number one, we have a great recruiting infrastructure. We have all these facilities to show off. Kirby Smart's awesome in person. We have a great recruiting staff. But you know what they also show them? Athens. Let these guys go out with their host players, and they have a heck of a time because Athens is awesome. That's a selling point. Absolutely is. And so is the university. That's why I included on that list. So, I mean, you can make an argument for Bama, sure. But, I mean, honestly, objectively, I think Georgia's a better job. And, I mean, and maybe Saban has elevated it just, and it doesn't matter where it's located or what kind of school it is because it's just Alabama. But after Saban, I don't know. I'm interested to see how that goes. Florida would be another one people would argue. I think there's about equal access to players. But, again, we have far less competition for those players in Florida. They got to deal with Miami. They got to deal with Florida State when they're up. And look, in terms of being a big-time program, don't even get me started on this. Yeah, I know they've won some national titles. Give them some credit. They've won some titles more recently than we have, sure. But they can't even sell out their stadium more than half the time. Their fan base is nowhere near the Georgia fan base. It's just not. Just simply not. They don't support their program like we do ours. Now, Florida, as a school, top 10 school. They're the highest-ranked public school in the SEC. It's a really good school. Got to give them credit there. But Gainesville's just not Athens. So give me Georgia over Florida. A&M is an interesting one also. Major access to players in Texas, but again, more competition. Like I said earlier, four of their Power 5 programs in that state, plus Oklahoma is always coming in there. I think we're pretty close to them in big-time program, but we have more of a tradition of winning. And I think nationally the perception is, I mean, I know last year they were like in the top five, but the perception is Georgia's been better for a longer period of time. And A&M is kind of second fiddle in their own state. I know they've won maybe a little bit more than Texas recently, but Texas still is king in that state. So it's hard to say you're the best job in the country when you're not even maybe the best job in your own state. And College Station's nowhere near the college town that Athens is. And then you got throw in, you mentioned Ohio State's obviously a good one. USC's an interesting one because it's out in California. The NIL might change this a little bit because you're seeing USC recruit really well right now. I think NIL might have something to do with that because they can sell the whole Hollywood thing and marketing opportunities, agents out there.
They'll have money to live there. Oh my gosh.
That's the thing too.
It's so like expensive.
Insanely expensive. But do you think NIL might encourage more players to go out to California, like to USC, UCLA? You get access to Hollywood. I mean, that's one of the reasons LeBron James, who not a fan of, but he went to the Lakers, yeah, sure to win, but also because he wanted to set himself up for life after the NBA. Now he's got Space Jam coming out, get involved in movies, things like that. So
yeah, that original movie was awful.
Don't blaspheme like that. The original Space Jam was incredible.
It was awful. But I hate cartoons, so.
Yeah, I mean, I know that you're not a cartoon person, but that movie, for a child, was incredible.
I was a child when I watched
it. Now, the second, have you seen the trailer for the new one?
Yes.
That looks like garbage.
Yeah.
Looks like straight, utter garbage. Now, I could be wrong there. It looks terrible. But don't blaspheme on Space Jam here. No. No way. All right. So, Ohio State. USC, I think, is a good job, but there's just the support there is just not there. You're the Pac-12. They don't support their programs. They just don't. When USC is good, then they support you. But there's so much going on out there, they just, you're on the periphery unless like you're competing for national titles, and that hasn't happened for a long time. So, you know what? Call me a homer. I can take it. Whatever. Give me Georgia. Sure. Objectively, yes. I think you can argue that Georgia is the best coaching job in America. Yes.
Are you done now?
I mean, yeah, sure.
It's
let's
been
go.
Like 20 minutes.
You know what? I think that was a very thorough answer.
Yes.
We had a listener that said that you are a buzzkill on this show because you don't let me. You get down when I like. You give me crap when I'm actually like getting excited about things. You're bringing it down.
No, I just I I'm distracted easily, so my attention kind of wanders.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so on to the next question.
I thought that was a very thorough answer.
It was.
Whether or not people agree or disagree.
It's always thorough. No, it's always thorough.
That's what we do on this show. We're thorough.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Well, we're moving on to the next hot topic of this week, which is the new name, image, and likeness rules that took effect today, which is July 1st. And for those of you that missed it, there were six states: Alabama, Florida, Mississippi. I almost said Mississippi State.
But well, the state of Mississippi.
I know, but because of the
Mississippi
World
State
series,
just won a national title.
Just been seeing
their first national title in school history.
Yeah,
can
awesome.
You believe that?
Awesome.
Awesome, but like, good for them.
But also sad.
Also, like the first ever.
Okay, well,
sorry.
Mississippi,
yeah.
Texas, New Mexico, and of course Georgia have passed NIL laws that were set to take effect in July, but the NCAA has now passed a temporary NIL policy of its own. So our next two questions deal with NIL. And I just saw on Twitter because I was looking up name, image, and likeness stuff, and somebody tweeted that the United States...
Oh, yeah,
States
when you interrupted me?
The United States Postal Service should sponsor or...
Stetson?
Yeah. Which I thought was...
Absolutely. Last year when he was rolling...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because there were, I think, like, Barstool, I think, had a Stetson Bennett, like, mailman deal. I think the 7-6 did.
And then I saw something else. So, Bo Nix got a sponsorship from
Milo's tea, yeah.
And so, somebody responded that all the Alabama fans grabbing the sweet tea from their refrigerators and pouring it out. And then,
who
like,
would give,
telling
like,
people
Nix
to switch
garbage.
To another brand.
Garbage
I don't know.
Player.
I had never heard of that because I don't drink sweet
I've
tea.
I've never heard of
I
that.
I know people think I'm crazy. I've lived in the South my whole life, I'm and I don't
sweet.
Like it.
Well, I think sweet tea tastes good. It's just got so much sugar, and I have a very guilty conscience once I drink it. I am sick in the head, so I just can't drink that.
Well, my mother was certainly not allowing that to be
can't
in our house
it.
Growing up. I don't even think we had Coke, and I definitely wasn't allowed to drink it. Especially if it was like 4 o'clock or later in the afternoon.
That's sad. As a child, she Kendall Milton stuff?
She bought, so this is just funny. Only person I've ever known that buys caffeine-free Diet Coke.
Huh?
Yeah. Did you know there was such a thing? I don't think it exists anymore. But why would you even buy it?
I don't even really drink sodas, but I mean, I knew there was Diet Coke. I didn't know there was caffeine-free Diet Coke. Did you see Kendall Milton's
stuff?
Yes, I did. It's nice.
The label,
did you buy that? Would you ever buy something like that? That just has like a player's logo on it?
The logo confuses me. I mean, there's a lot going
on. KM2, Kendall Milton 2.
No, I know, but I have to like focus on it because...
Oh, I saw it clear.
I know.
It's kind of like the Kentucky logo. The new Kentucky logo.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
If you guys know what I'm talking about, like, go look at the new Kentucky logo. It's supposed to be the Wildcat face. If you look at it close enough, it looks like two birds kind of going at it, guys. And that's all I can see. I don't see the Wildcat anymore. All I see is the two birds going at it. That's all I see.
Okay.
Look at it. Look it up. Look it up.
So, first question comes from Trey. He says, if the NCAA has waived the rules relating to NIL, does this action take precedent over the Georgia law and, in effect, void it as unnecessary?
It's a good question. No, it does not. As far as, I mean, I'm not an expert on NIL. I don't want to act like I am. But my understanding is no. It's basically for the programs, like this temporary thing, and I don't even know what that even is, temporary policy that the NCAA has put into place, because they've been trying forever to get Congress to step in and do something to make a national law, so the NCAA is kind of absolved of responsibility here. But Congress is like, yeah, we'll get to it when we get to it. We don't want to deal with it. There's other things going on right now that we want to deal with.
I think there are more important things in the world
than college football?
Yeah.
No, you've lost your mind.
Oh, gosh.
You've lost your mind. Get out of here. So it's a temporary policy, I guess, why they're trying to figure out. Like, nothing. I mean, how long have they had? They knew this was coming. How have you not had, like, just an actual policy? Why does it have to be temporary? Why is it temporary right now? But whatever. Temporary policy is for the programs that are in states with no NIL legislation coming up. And I don't think all, like you mentioned the six states, I don't think all of them were supposed to go live today. Maybe they were. I know Georgia's was supposed to go live today. I don't know if all of them are supposed to go live today. But basically, I got two. This is from the policy. So it's what it says. So for individuals, individuals can engage in NIL activities that are consistent with the law of the state where the school is located. So if you're in Georgia, Mississippi, Texas, four of those states, New Mexico, which is a weird one, that pass NIL legislation, you can do whatever your state's legislation says you can do. All right. And then colleges and universities are responsible for determining whether those activities are consistent with state law. There you go. Now, here's the pertinent part to what you're asking, Trey. It also goes on to say college athletes who attend a school in a state without an NIL law can engage in this type of activity without violating NCAA rules related to name, image, and likeness.
Really, I'm so confused.
So the whole reason NCAA had to pass a temporary policy here, Charlie, is because having NIL, allowing your players to profit off their name, image, and likeness in only six states is a massive recruiting advantage. So they've just opened up recruiting visits, right? So if you're a recruit, a top-level recruit coming out of high school, and you can go to one of six states and make as much money, there's no cap on how much money you make, but the other 44 states...
So they changed their policy from you can't profit.
To, yes.
Okay, because it doesn't even seem like you need a policy.
Right. Basically, what the NCAA is saying, hey, we don't care what state you're in. We won't suspend you. We won't take action against you.
Well, and that's... Well, I was looking at Twitter for that. Barstool is like picking up all of these athletes. So now they have a cross-country runner. Dave Portnoy is just
totally
like,
should.
Hey guys, if you're a college kid, tweet Dave Portnoy because he'll probably sign you as an athlete. They have a cross-country runner, a baseball player, a lacrosse girl.
I've actually thought
it
like
crew member.
I'm gonna throw this out there. I've considered it for us. Like, we're so small that I don't think anyone would care. But like, the idea, like, would it be awesome if we get an athlete? Like, get Meg Kowalski, your favorite, right? Meg?
Yeah.
Get, like, or if, I mean, because I don't know if we can afford football players. I don't know if, that's the thing, is like, we don't really turn a profit here. This is a labor of love, right? Like, we kind of just do this to provide service for the Georgia fan base. That's pretty much what we do. So we don't really have the money to do that. But hey, if you're listening out there and you want like 10 bucks and you're a Georgia athlete, like, we could hook you up and have you on the show. We'd love to do that. But yeah, it's...
Let's say your taxes will not be much.
Yeah, wouldn't be much. We don't have that kind of money. We're not that big. We're not that. And that's cool. We're cool with that. But yeah, so I hope that answered your question, Trey. Go back to the question, does this action take precedent over the Georgia law? It has nothing to do with the Georgia law because there's like two elements. They're saying, hey, if you're in a state that has passed legislation, you follow what your state says. But if you're in a state that has not passed NIL legislation, you can profit off your name, image, and likeness, and the NCAA won't punish you for it.
All right. Thank you for that clarification. All right. Next NIL question comes from Sean, and he says, which Georgia player of the 21st century do you think would have made the most money off of his name, image, and likeness while in college?
Oh, man. The running backs come to mind. I'm thinking...
Yeah, I would say Nick, Sony.
Gurley. Todd. I mean, Todd was already making money, guys. Yeah. As we know, Todd was making that cash.
He was making more than we knew
about. Todd was making that cash. Does it not anger you right now, looking back at Todd Gurley getting suspended, ruining that season?
He can come back. He should be able to come back and play.
AJ Green. Yeah. Right? Going back many years now. God, geez, so long, a decade now. I mean, it just angers me that happened. All these guys are doing was just trying to make a little money for themselves. Making peanuts for themselves. And now these guys can go out and make... I mean, JT Daniels, I've heard... I mean, we'll see what happens. I've heard rumors around Athens that he's going to strike a deal, a couple of deals that he might be making up to like $500,000 or so. According to Drew Butler is saying that Drew Butler's in the marketing.
Get your attorney
ready. Yeah, well...
Get your accountant ready.
Yeah, so we couldn't afford JT.
I'm sorry.
Maybe we could get him on here for 30 seconds. Hey, JT, can we just get you on here and like introduce us real quick? How much is that going to cost us?
I'll take the tennis team first.
Well, there's different seasons. I mean, we have a tennis season. We have a football season. We have a basketball season.
Yeah.
I don't know who can... I mean, I don't know any of the players. We know all the players, but no one that the fan base knows on the basketball team anymore because it's basically an entirely new roster. You can get Jax Netter on here. Matthew Stafford. Okay, preseason number one coming in 2008. Like, if NIL laws in effect then, Matthew Stafford would have made a killing. No Sean Moreno.
David Pollock.
Oh, Pollock would have made a ton of money back in the day. He would have made a killing back in the day. AJ Green, I mentioned AJ would make a lot of money. Who else are we missing here? I'm trying to think of guys, because like personality is a big part of that, right? Like,
well, and then this is a different take I was thinking about. Like, obviously they can get sponsorship deals or whatever, but then I was looking on Twitter and it was a kicker who was like, yeah, now I can coach camps.
You can do a camp, yeah.
Or I can do private lessons. They do this stuff,
but they do it voluntarily.
Which is good.
Just appearance fees.
Well, no, but this is good for athletes who have a specific skill. They may not be able to market themselves with a car dealership or a clothing company, but they can go and say, hey, pay me $50 for a private lesson.
Absolutely.
Now these kids can make some money.
Appearance fees. As well. I mean, all that kind of stuff. There's so many avenues open to them, and I'm all for it. I'm very happy for them to be able to do this. No grudges at all. No, some people are like, I was talking to somebody and it's like, oh, it's just going to ruin the sport. And I'm like, I mean, but it's not.
But it gives the kids, but the like, people are also walk-ons the ability to go make money if mm-hmm. they need to make money mm-hmm. and they can use the skill that they
And some of these guys can get like local deals. Not everyone's been making like $100,000. Some of these guys can get little local deals with local companies and be making, you know, some spending money. And that's, there is kind of this misconception that college athletes don't have any money. That's crazy. They get cost of attendance stipends. They make money, guys, and get Pell Grant. They've been making money. They just have access now to more money, which I think is good for them.
I'm sure they have more money than what we had in college.
I mean, I worked.
Like spending money?
I worked 30 to 40 hours a week at Athens First Bank and Trust, baby. That's what I did. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to walk on at Georgia, but I had to work. I had to pay my way through that, you know? I mean, I wanted to try to walk on at Georgia. I don't know if I would have been a successful endeavor, but I wanted to.
You were
to.
A lot bigger then.
I was bigger then. I was bigger. But like when, all right, we got to pick one of these. We named a bunch of guys. We got to pick one of these guys to answer the question.
Probably Pollock or Stafford. No, I don't know. I go with the running backs.
All right, so like, what is a company going to look for? I mean, you have to play a prominent position, right? Usually quarterback, running back, something like that, where you can put up numbers. You got to be really good, obviously, put up those numbers. I think you got to be known. If you want to make big money, you got to be known nationally, outside the state.
Right, I think you could put those names in a hat and draw one.
I think people around the country knew Pollock. They knew Stafford. They knew who Nick Chubb was and who Todd Gurley was. I think you have to know those. And then fan base support. I'm going to go Nick Chubb.
I mean, that's who I would.
And Nick Chubb's my favorite Georgia player of all time, so maybe, again, I'm biased here. And look, Nick Chubb does, and maybe Gurley. I think Gurley, because he had more charisma than Nick, but Nick had his like own unique kind of charisma, I guess.
See, I love Nick Chubb.
I'm an introverted person, so is Nick Chubb. But I think Nick Chubb was the most beloved player.
He's probably happy that NIL didn't exist because he'd be like, I don't want to have to like...
Oh, he would have made... He want to make some cash.
Right, but I don't know that... I don't know that he would have enjoyed...
Sure, as much as Todd, who's more extroverted. Yeah. I just think Nick Chubb... I mean, am I crazy? I think Nick Chubb might be the most beloved Georgia player of the 21st century, if that's the question. I mean, I know we've had a lot of players that we love. I mean, Pollock was very beloved, but more than Nick Chubb, like... The mythology behind Nick Chubb coming back from the injury, all that, I don't know, man. So I would go Chubb or Gurley. I'm gonna go with Nick because I just think he like coming back. Think how much money he would have made coming back that senior year, right? Coming back for one more year, and
who?
Nick when he came back for his senior
year.
Oh
yeah, sorry, I spaced out there for a second.
Yeah, of course you did. So I think I would go with Nick Chubb here. Stafford would be a really good answer going into 2008, but I don't know if Stafford was, as much as we love Stafford, I don't know if he was ever beloved like Nick Chubb was. But maybe Gurley might be a good answer too. But I'm going to go with Nick. I'll stick with Nick.
Final answer,
Nick Chubb.
Okay. All right. So our last three questions are leftovers from our Scheme Theme series, and the first one comes from our good friend and listener, Cliff. He says, defensively, he's most excited to see Tyke Smith this year because his versatility could pay big dividends to make the UGA defense more well-rounded. Mm-hmm. Says Tyke Smith has an unmatched skill set along with his experience playing for Jamil.
Jamil, good.
A day?
Close,
a
very die? Close. A die.
A die. A die.
Got on the second try.
This is my
And how are you saying
phonetic?
How are you saying the player's first name? Say that again.
Tyke?
Say it again.
Tyke?
It is Tyke. You're just like Tyke?
Oh, well, I see the double E, so
Tyke. I mean, maybe it's Tyke, but I think just Tyke would suffice.
Leave me alone.
I think that
would
suffice.
What are your thoughts on his underrated impact?
Yeah, I think you're onto something here, Cliff. I think you're nailing this, man. I think Tyke Smith, I mean, everyone's excited about Darion Kendrick, as we should be, because that really shores up a major position of need, having a lot of uncertainty there, and just the idea of going into a game week one against a top program like Clemson with two essentially untested cornerbacks that played basically no meaningful snaps. That's scary. But I think Tyke Smith might be the bigger addition. And he's been better. He's put up better numbers throughout his career than Darion Kendrick has. I mean, just listen to some of these numbers, guys. So according to Pro Football Focus, Tyke Smith has put up the third best slot coverage grade over the last 2 years. The best coverage grade of any slot defenders last year was the sixth highest rated DB in the country last year. Last season at West Virginia, he was targeted 38 times in coverage, allowed just 110 total yards. You guys know math ain't my thing. I can do that math. That comes out to 2.89 yards per attempt allowed. He did not give up even one play of 15 or more yards. Think about how many completions we gave up from that nickelback, that star position the past couple years, guys. I don't want to say it's been a position of weakness, because I don't know if we've been weak there. We just haven't been great there. All right, Mark Webb was more than serviceable, a good player, especially in run support. Fantastic run support player, fantastic blitzer off the edge. Did a lot of things that we asked him to do from that position, but coverage wasn't his forte. Tyreek Stevenson has all the talent in the world, man, but he was average at best last year. And I'm not, that's not sour grapes since he's gone to Miami. I was saying that all last year. He wasn't good enough last year. He did not live up to the billing last year. Now, maybe that changes this year for him. So I think it's maybe not a position of weakness, but it hasn't been a position of strength like we need it to be. And I think that Tyke Smith can change that. And I did one of the Scheme Theme episodes earlier in the offseason. I think maybe our second Scheme Theme episode, where I focused exclusively on the star position and why that position has become so important and so critical in modern defensive college football and just modern football in general. So I think that it's a major upgrade at the star position, which has become a critical position in the sport, and not enough people are talking about what Tyke Smith can bring for this team. Now, he's a little undersized. I want to see him improve his run support. He's 5'10", 198. Really, he's not all that much smaller than Tyreek Stevenson. Tyreek was about 6 foot, so maybe he had 2 inches on him, but they're about the same weight. But he just missed too many tackles for my liking last year. His missed tackle rate was a little too high for me, 18.3%, which was 205th nationally among defensive backs. That's not good enough. That's got to improve, especially with how much that star position player has got to insert as a run support defender in our defense. But that's a fundamental thing that can be improved. It needs to improve, but it can be improved. It's not necessarily a talent thing. He can, and he's a willing tackler. He is willing to stick his nose in there. He's just got to get better at it. So, but he's been fantastic in coverage. He's been fantastic in coverage throughout his career, which is very different from the guys that we have had the past couple years who have been better in run support and average-ish against the pass. So yeah, I think that's a great point, Cliff. You're right on it, man. I think he's a massive addition and may prove to be even more of a bigger addition than Darion Kendrick. Although Kendrick, I mean, getting him, that certainly is a relief to have someone with his experience there at cornerback and not to have two guys that basically played no snaps having to start the season against Clemson.
I know you went into a lot of detail on why you're excited about the Eric Gilbert transfer.
I did.
You did what? Two full episodes on it?
Two full episodes, about 2 hours or so in total. Yeah.
All right. But Darren wants to hear more.
Let's do it.
So he asks, let's see. He still wants to hear more about him playing the X receiver position. So does he have the speed and route running ability to get open downfield, or do we really just need him to win jump balls with his size?
Yeah, this is a good question. I'm happy to go more in detail with this, Darren. So, talking about whether Eric Gilbert can play the X position, and we talked about this in one of our scheme theme episodes, the X position, that's typically where you put your number one alpha wide receiver. And that's where Eric Gilbert wants to play. That's what we sold him on playing. It's one of the reasons we were able to get him to come to Athens when it was all said and done with his final decision. But it's an interesting fit. And I'm curious to see how he translates to that position. So what you asked there, Darren, is does he have the speed and route running ability to get open and create separation? I think that's what you're asking. Can he create separation? Does he have the speed to do that? Well, coming out of high school, he was a 4'7 guy at about 245, 250 pounds. Now, I imagine, 2 years removed from high school, probably closer as he's gotten stronger, probably with the training you get in college, probably closer to the 4'6-ish range. We also don't know how his body has changed, how much weight he has dropped, what's he look like now. We don't know. So maybe he's in the low 4'6", maybe even high 4'5-ish range. I don't know. We'll see. But that's what he was in high school. He was a 4'7 guy. I think that he can play the X wide receiver spot. And I know you're focusing a lot there on speed and route running ability. I don't think that speed is necessarily a requirement for that X position. I don't think it's a requirement that the X has to be a burner. George Pickens, for example, no, George is faster than Eric Gilbert, but we've talked many times about this before. George is not necessarily an elite speed guy himself. He's fast enough, plenty fast enough to be a vertical threat, but it's not like he's a burner himself. He played the X and did it very, very well. Look at some of these guys in the NFL that played that position. I know Larry Fitzgerald plays the slot a lot now, but he's been an X guy in his career before, going back to high school and in college as well. But he was like a 4'6 guy. Dez Bryant was like a mid 4'5s guy. Brandon Marshall, mid 4'5. Mike Evans, who's maybe one of the closer comps you can get to what Eric Gilbert is like a mid to high 4'5 guy. So, maybe a little bit faster than Gilbert, but not like demonstrably so. So, I think you can play that position. These guys have proven you can play that position without being like an elite speed guy. Because the name of the game is you got to win. You just have to be able to win and get open. You got to be able to create separation or be able to make contested catches if you aren't open. And Gilbert has shown that he can do that. I think he had the second highest rate on contested catches returning the SEC from last year. So he's shown he can do that. Now, I will say I'm not 1,000% convinced that he's a full-on X wide receiver yet. But I think he can be that with some work, which I just haven't seen him do it consistently. He's lined up out there at times, but he hasn't played the X before. Can he do it? Yeah, I think he has the skill set to be able to do it. I just need to see it, right? And I will say that he's not going to be a guy that's going to create separation with that speed. As I mentioned, he's not like an elite speed guy. He's not going to create separation with speed against most of your cornerbacks that he's going to be going up against. So he's going to have to create separation other ways. He's going to have to do that with route running. He is a smooth route runner. He's going to have to create separation with physicality line of scrimmage. If they're going to try to press him, he's got to be able to get off that, and I think he can do that. And he's going to have to continue to make contested catches if he wants to play the X position, which he has shown the ability to do at a very high level. Now, I would like to see him more in the slot. That's just me. I think if you put him in the slot and scheme up ways to get him matched up on safeties, then he can really create separation with speed more so against those guys. So he can play the X, also move around and put him in the slot at times. I mean, teams do that. I mean, Devontae Smith moved all over the place last year for Alabama. And again, honestly, we don't know what Gilbert looks like right now. Has he dropped weight? Does he look more like a true wide receiver? So yeah, like I think he can play X. I'm not 100% convinced because I just haven't seen him do it yet. I need to see it first. But I think he has the skill set to do it. I just don't think you're going to see him creating separation vertically down the field just by like turning on the jets and running past those cornerbacks. I don't think you're going to see that. He's going to get open in different ways, but that's okay. Different guys are built different ways, and he can still be a dominant receiver, and that's what you want out of your X. You want that dominant number one wide receiver, that alpha dude over there, X, and I think he can be that.
All right. Well, we have one final question today, and it comes from our old friend, Alexander. So he says that on the podcast, we've talked about how our defensive scheme isn't built to create a lot of sacks. Mm-hmm. He says, with so many dynamic passing offenses and college football becoming more of a passing sport, do you think it would benefit the team to move towards a scheme that puts more pressure on the quarterback?
Yeah, what's up, Alexander? Good to hear from you, buddy. That's a great question. We've talked about this. We talk about this a lot because I think it's an important question, and I completely understand the premise of this question, Alexander. I really do. I get where you're coming from. It makes a ton of sense, and in a sense, I do agree with it. But here is the philosophy behind what we do. And it really is about being able to stop the pass. It really is. I know it might not seem that way, because when I say, hey, we put an emphasis on stopping the run, well, you're saying, well, you're putting emphasis on stopping the run. You don't care about the pass. No, like we want to stop the run so that we can be more structurally sound against the pass. What we do is we put a premium on structuring our defense in a way that we can stop the run with even numbers in the box. And what that does, if we can do that, it allows us to not have to roll safeties down in the box, put more bodies in there to get numbers against the run. That's what allows us to do. And that gives us an opportunity to do more things from a coverage standpoint, because now you have more guys that you can dedicate to pass coverage, right? So you only have 11, let's consider these 11 players like resources. You have 11 resources to use. You can use them however you want. You can use them to stop the run. You can use them to stop the pass. Well, the fewer guys, the fewer bodies, the fewer resources you have to dedicate to stopping the run, the more you have to dedicate to stopping the pass. So if we can stop the run with even numbers, whether that's 5 or 6 in the box or whatever, then that means we have more bodies to defend against the pass. We can do more from a coverage standpoint, and we're just generally speaking going to be more structurally sound against the pass. We can play 3 defenders over 2 receivers. We can play 2 defenders over 1 receiver. We can bracket their top wide receiver. We can do all those kind of things if you can stop the run with even numbers. If you cannot stop the run with even numbers, then you got to bring safeties in the box, and that's when you create one-on-one opportunities for opposing offenses, and that's really tough to stop, especially when you're facing these high-powered offenses with good quarterbacks like Mac Jones or Trevor Lawrence and good receivers like Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, all those guys. So I agree. Yes, I agree with you. I do. I agree with the premise that we need to be able to slow down high-powered passing offenses because Yeah, that's who we're going to have to beat to win a national championship. We got to beat those teams. But there's more than one way to do that. Sure, one way is as you suggest, and a lot of people suggest this, and I'm not completely against this either myself, but one way to do it is to create havoc, pressure the quarterback, force him to turnovers, get him antsy in the pocket, force him to panic, all those kind of things. Create negative plays. That can work. That's one way to do it. But another way to do it is putting an emphasis on stopping the run with those even numbers, being able to play 2 high safeties, getting teams to 3rd and long, and then getting after them on 3rd and long, which is what we do. So, you know, and I always come back to this. You know, at the end of the day, I always come back to this. We might not put up the havoc numbers that everyone wants to see, because people love the sack numbers, their highlight plays. We all love that. And negative plays are important. They really are. But at the end of the day, it's about overall production of your defense. And our defense has produced at a level above just about everyone else in the country over the past 2 seasons. It's really, really, really hard to argue the end results. So to me, it's like it's a means to an end, right? Havoc rate, all that kind of stuff, it's a means to an end. But the end result is what you really care about. Does it matter how you get there if the end result has been as good as anyone in the country over the past 2 seasons? So that's kind of the way I look at it. I think there's more than, God, I sound like my grandfather now. You're talking about me getting older. There's more than one way to skin a cat, which is there? Okay. I never thought about that.
Country boy thing you've ever said.
There you go. I got a little country in me. Like, but does that even make any sense? I guess.
I don't want to know because I don't want to. More think
than one.
About it.
I mean, I guess you could start at different points to skin the cat. Like, I don't. Where did that even come from? Who is skinning cats?
Skinning cats.
Who is skinning cats? Who does that? I don't even know. Anyway, that's it, right?
That's it.
Well, if you hate cats, wouldn't you want to skin them?
No.
It's weird. Yes. Okay. No. Anyway, we're getting out of here. Sorry, guys. It's been real. We appreciate you guys listening. We appreciate everyone sending in your questions. Always feel free to send in questions anytime you got them. You can send them to us on social media, on Twitter, @glory_UGA. You can DM us. You can just tweet them to us. You can email us if that works easier for you at gloryugapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys. And we'd love to get your take on some of these questions as well, especially the question about Georgia as the best job in college football. I'm curious what you guys think there. Let us know. And we'd love to kind of get that conversation started on social media. Again, that's @glory_UGA. But thanks for listening, guys. We do appreciate it. For Charlie, I'm Tyler. We'll be back later in the week. And as always, go Dawgs!